The name of Jesus.
All right. For the past several weeks, can y'all hear me without this? Those of you in the back, can y'all hear me?
Yeah.
All right. Excellent. Good. Sometimes the mic, when I'm trying to record the message, it causes some distortion. And so I don't want that to happen, you know, because we want the recordings. We've been talking about forgiveness, which is the key to victorious living. There's many keys to victorious living, but forgiveness is probably one of the primary keys that you will find in the Bible. Because if you don't forgive, if you don't learn to forgive people, you get nothing. You won't have any victory in your life, and we're going to tell you why. We've been talking about this for the past several weeks. Pastor Christick started us off with some videos, and then he taught from Genesis chapter 50 and broke it down. I tell you, that was a wonderful message. And then I began to teach a few things. We missed a couple of weeks. We missed one Sunday because of snow. And then last week we had our Christmas service in which Pastor Christick brought forth the word again, which was a blessing. I tell you, he broke it down for us about what Christmas really means. You know, it's not just about, you know, getting the presents and hanging up the stuff on the trees and, you know, and waiting for somebody to give me my 42-inch flat screen high definition television that I've been asking for the past couple of years. But it's not about that. It's just not about that. So we learned what the true meaning of Christmas is. Now, thank God we didn't tell you to be stick in the mud and not give presents and not buy presents for one another, because that's a good part of Christmas. You know, buying Christmas presents. Don't go into debt doing it. You should not ever go into debt doing it. So that's probably why I haven't gotten my 42-inch high definition flat screen television yet, huh? All right, anyway. Save up for it! Okay. All right. But this week we're going to continue in our series on forgiveness, the key to victorious living. We got a lot to cover, so we may be going through this for a little while. Even though we're going to have some evangelistic emphasis in January, we're still going to continue to teach on this, because this is a vital part of our walk with Christ. Without this, you might as well forget it. Glory to God. Amen. So, I'm not going to go over everything we talked about. We got some CDs in the back from the week, couple weeks ago. We got my CD. We got Pastor Christick's CD. You can go to the back. If you can afford it, you can put down a $2 donation. If you can't and you need the teaching, please don't let money stop you. We got some wonderful resources in the back. And I'm not just saying that just because, you know, most of them are by myself. It's because the Holy Spirit used those things to help people. I've heard nothing but wonderful testimonies from some of you here, as well as from people in other parts of the States and people overseas who have been blessed by these by the materials that we make available to you in the back. So take advantage of them. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. We're going to be ordering some more, especially the book on walking in love, since that's part of what we're trying to deal with. We're going to be ordering some more materials soon. All right, but we talked about what forgiveness is, and we talked about that being a debt or releasing someone from a debt. And we also, and you know, we won't get into all the scriptures we used to explain all of that. And we talked about God's sovereign right to forgive and extend mercy as he desires. You know, we talked about why God has decided to set a precedent for receiving forgiveness, for you to be able to receive forgiveness from him. How he has set certain principles which would enable you to receive forgiveness from him. And somebody says, well, why can't God just forgive me? Why God forgive somebody else before he can forgive me? Well, because he's sovereign. If he decides that's the way it's going to be, that's the way it's going to be. And who are you to question him about it? You know, if you can question him if you want to, because you have a free will. He will allow you to question him. But I tell you what, I don't want to be there when you do it. All right. I will simply accept what God says as authority and will obey it. Mm-hmm. Praise God. And then we began to talk about prayer and why it is important for us to be able to forgive if we want to see our prayers answered. And we're going to continue on from there. Turn with me to Mark chapter 11. You know, as I studied this, as I've been studying on the subject, I did not realize that there was so much in the Bible concerning this one particular subject. So it's vitally important. It's vitally important to learn to forgive one another, to learn to walk in love with one another, to learn not to hold grudges and not to allow roots of bitterness to spring up in you. You know, and people don't understand why God would have it that way. And it's funny, you know, it's important that I point these things out because I was just reading a book a couple of weeks ago. You know, just reading a book, you know, I like to read some books, see what other people's insights are on these types of subjects. And sometimes I read these books and I'm like, do these men of God actually read the Bible before they make certain statements? One person wrote, you know, he asked the question, is it necessary for God to forgive you for you to forgive someone before you act, before God is able to forgive you? And then he says, no. God is merciful and he is kind, and it's not necessarily requirement for him to, for you to be for you to forgive someone else before he forgives you. I'm like, what? Where did you get that from? All these passages of scriptures that say that you must forgive before you are forgiven. Yeah. Oh, we're going to talk about that scripture in a moment, too. And yet somebody would say something like that. I just don't understand. You got to, and these are evangelical ministers that I'm talking about. People who have radio programs on some of our well-known radio stations like WARV and places like that. You got, and this is why I caution you, saints. It's good to read books. It's great to read books. But make sure that whatever you read lines up with the Bible. Read, make this your primary book to read.
Yes.
Don't accept something just because somebody has a PhD, an EFD, and a JUNIOR. After their name. Don't accept something just because somebody has these nice, wonderful letters after their name. Yeah. It doesn't mean they know anything. I found that out. Glory to God. And down, we're not putting down a college education. We're not putting down a seminary education. I plan on getting my classes done. And, you know, one of these days, y'all not going to call me Pastor Troy anymore. You're going to call me Dr. Pastor Troy. Now, I'm going to allow y'all to call me Doc for short. So there's nothing wrong with any of that stuff. But don't believe somebody just because they got letters after their name. There are some country preachers who probably know much more. Some of these preachers who ain't got no more than a sixth grade education, but they get before God every day, and they're in his presence, and they're reading this book, and they're just sweating tears and everything, studying this book, and I can tell you that many of them got more revelation than some of these men who got their college degrees.
That's true, brother.
Praise God.
Amen.
And are more anointed, way more anointed. I tell you, it's like one farmer said, he said, who would you rather listen to? Somebody who's milked the cow before or somebody who's only studied it?
Yes.
I go to the farmer who ain't got no education but knows how to milk that cow, okay? Praise God. But so forgiveness is important because God won't forgive you apart from it. You know, it tripped me out because even I was down in New Jersey for Christmas the past couple of days, or a couple of days ago, and my mother, who's been with the Lord for, you know, she's known the Lord for a while, and, you know, she raised me up to read the Bible and taught me to read the Bible and everything, sent me to Sunday school and stuff like that. And, you know, she told me the other day, she said, "Son," she said, "I was surprised. I found out I was reading the Bible, and I found out the Bible says that I have to forgive before I forgive somebody else. I mean, before I receive forgiveness from God, I had to forgive some. I had to forgive people." And I said, "You just, you know what I'm saying?" I said, "You just now found that out, Mom." But, you know, I'm not going to tell her that. So, Mom, if you listen to the tape, I'm sorry. Anyway. But Mom was surprised to find that in the Bible. And I'm sure it's the same way with some of you. You see, you know, you find things in the Bible, you know, we think, many things we think are obvious, and yet they're right there in the Bible. And sometimes we don't discover them till later. And so she got that revelation, and now she understands that she has to forgive. And she found that directly from the Bible, not from anybody's teaching. So you got to get that revelation. And it's very important, because if you want to pray effectively, if you want to receive tangible, visible answers to prayer, then you got to be strong in this area. You see, I don't know about you, but when I pray, I expect to get answers to prayer. Mm-hmm. I don't like to waste my time praying if I'm not going to get some type of visible result from it. Oh, but Brother Troy, we should be praying just so that we can be built up spiritually, so that we can become closer to God, so that we can become better Christians, mm-hmm. blah, 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 so forth and so on.
Yeah.
That's nice. But the Bible, more than anything, says that people pray in order to get something, in order to get a visible, tangible result. As a matter of fact, I see very little, if any, in the Bible about praying just to be spiritually built up. That's what the Word of God is for. Now, I'm not saying you don't pray to be spiritually built up. Don't get me wrong. I'm just saying that there's very little in the Bible about it. Most people in the Bible, when you see examples of prayer, when you see principles taught about prayer, it is always to obtain a tangible, visible result in this particular physical realm.
Yeah.
And if you're going to spend all 20, 30 years of your Christian life praying, and you can't attest to having ever received any kind of answer that you've seen with your eyes, then you are doing something wrong. Now, when I ask God for something, and I don't, and I spend time believing Him to receive it and stuff like that, and if I don't see the answer for a long period of time, one of the first areas I check in my life is, am I mad? Do I have any ought against somebody? Have I failed to forgive someone? You know, I try to do a spiritual inventory, because I want to get blessed. How about you? I want God to bless me. And if I am not receiving answers to prayers, I need to check to find out, wait a minute, am I holding some grudge against somebody that I haven't realized? And I ask God, can you show me, who is it that I'm upset with? Who is it that I'm mad at? You know, what have I done wrong to somebody else that they're mad at me? Mm-hmm. You know, I try to find these things out. Let's look at Mark chapter 11. Beginning at verse 22, it says, "And Jesus answering saith unto them, Have faith in God." That's a nice thing to do. You ought to have faith in God. "For verily I say unto you, that whosoever," say whosoever.
Whosoever.
Say whosoever.
Whosoever.
Say whosoever.
Whosoever.
What does whosoever cover?
Everybody.
That covers everybody, don't it? See, some people will take this scripture and they say, well, Jesus was only speaking to the apostles. It's not for everybody. And I'm telling you, I've talked to people who have said this very thing to me. They have told me that this scripture is not for everybody. Jesus was specifically talking to the apostles, and that's who it's addressed to. But I want you to know that my Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, that the Holy Spirit inspired the scriptures, and they are profitable for rebuke, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. That means it all belongs to me. If this is in the scriptures, then it was meant for me somehow, some way. Amen?
Amen.
And Jesus was not saying, now if Jesus meant it for only apostles, he would have said, listen here, Peter, John, Matthew, Judas, and all the others. He would have just said, listen, this is for you only, for this particular circle. He didn't say it was just for them. He said, whosoever. That covers everybody. So this means that if you are a whosoever, then this promise is qualified for you. Now it says, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire, when ye pray, believe that you receive them, and ye shall have them. Now this is a wonderful promise. It is for you. It belongs to you. You should receive the promise. But many times, when we preach these promises, when we teach on these promises, we stop at this one particular verse. We stop at 24, and we begin to shout and say, hallelujah, I can have whatsoever I say. Glory to God, I can speak to mountains and command them to be done, thrown into the sea, and it shall be done for me. Glory to God. I'm going to go out, and I'm going to knock over some mountains. Now, you know we're not talking about literal mountains, all right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, I believe that what Jesus is saying is that faith has enough power to knock over it, to command a literal mountain to go into the sea. But he's not telling you to go out and command literal mountains. What he's saying is that faith has this much power, so it has enough power to deal with the mountains and problems in your life.
Yes.
So God has given us power, the power of faith. I like what C.H. Spurgeon once said. He said that faith makes you almost as omnipotent as God by virtue of his borrowed divinity.
Mm.
I like that. Spurgeon was a Baptist preacher a long, long time ago. They called him the Prince of Preachers. I like that statement. Faith makes you almost as omnipotent as God by virtue of his borrowed divinity. Well, Mark chapter 9, verse 23 says, all things are possible to him that believes. Now that gives you a certain amount of omnipotence, don't it?
Amen.
Amen. Because what it's saying is that if I trust God, God's going to move on my behalf.
Mm-hmm.
But see, now we read these promises, we get excited about them, and we should. But we can't stop and miss the conditions for these promises.
Go ahead.
And the conditions are found in verses 25 and 26. And when ye stand praying, forgive if ye have aught against any, that your Father also which is in heaven may forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father which is in heaven forgive your trespasses. My brothers and sisters, prayer and forgiveness is connected together. See, in verse 24, Jesus gives you an unqualified promise that when you pray, and you pray believing that you receive them, ye shall have them. Jesus is saying you can have your prayers answered. Jesus is basically telling you, trust me, pray, and expect an answer. But what blocks the answer is that if you don't forgive.
Mm-hmm.
Now, If you're holding aught against somebody, I don't care what they've done to you. If you're holding aught against somebody, then you shouldn't get upset with God when you pray and ask for something and you're not receiving the answer. The first thing you need to do is do an inventory, because God's word is true. God's not a liar. He does not go back on his word. Let God be true. Let every man be a liar. The prophet Balaam said it this way. He said, God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Has he said, shall he not do it? Has he spoken, will he not make it good?
Mm-hmm.
God means what what he says, and he says what he means. So if we're not getting the benefits of his promises, then we need to look and find out why. And one of the reasons why could be because we have failed to forgive people for what they did to us. Now, somebody might have done something real bad to you. I understand. Been there. You know, I remember some years ago when I was in the military. And I got placed into this section called MICAP. It was short for Missions Capabilities. And I had to order all the parts for the military and trucks, military vehicles and stuff that were used in, you know, for wartime capabilities and stuff like that. And so it was a very important section. And so I had to work, maybe 12, 14 hours a day, maybe 6 to 7 days a week. And, you know, I was praying, asking God, God, get me out of here. I mean, I was just praying and asking God to release me from this place. And I wasn't seeing no answers to prayers at that time. And one day, you know, because I had made a mistake on some charts I was supposed to do, you know, because I was the computer guru of the section two back in those days, I was paid a visit by the colonel himself, the Fulberg commander. And he came down and he wailed into me big time. Cussed me out. Called me everything except a child of God. Which I was. I mean, he went off on me. I mean, if you haven't been in the military, you don't know what it's like to be cussed out by a Fulberg colonel, okay? I can handle it if it's a higher ranking non-commissioned officer, or even just maybe a lieutenant or a captain or something. But a Fulberg colonel going off and you got to stand at attention the whole time he's doing it? And then those non-commissioned officers that were supposed to be my supervisors and stuff, they stand there watching it happen, and after it was over, then they go off on me because I embarrassed them. You know, that kind of stuff's hard to forgive.
Yes.
But you know what God told me? He said, son, I want you to forgive them. I didn't want to do it. My flesh did not want to do it. My flesh wanted to put in an EEO complaint. I wanted to cry racism, even though it really wasn't, because he was an equal opportunity hater. Okay. He went off on white guys and black guys alike. Okay. He hated everybody, no matter what color you were. I wanted to do some damage. But God told me, he said, son, I want you to forgive. Oh, I didn't want to. But you know what? There's some things I struggle with, you know, when God tells me to do it. But thank God, this is one of those areas that I don't, you know, just sit there and struggle. I said, okay, Lord, I'll forgive him. I don't want to. And that doesn't mean, you know, I had googly, googly feelings for any of those guys afterwards. I was still hurt. I still didn't really want to talk to them. But see, I made a decision to forgive them. A quality decision. I decided I'm going to forgive them. Well, it wasn't too long after that happened and I made up my mind to forgive them that I was sent to leadership school. And I went to leadership school for 6 weeks, got away from them, thank God. And when I got back, God had answered my prayer and given me a change of assignment and got me out of that place. And it happened with, and guess how it happened? Because somebody else appreciated my charts and wanted me in that section. The very thing that got me chewed out, got me hollered at, was the very thing that also got me a transfer into a better section. Praise God. And then not only that, I decided when it was time for this colonel to leave, they had a party for him. You know, and they had this big dinner and everything for him. Nobody liked him, but, you know, a lot of people would. You know, they all went to the dinner anyway. I decided, because I'm not going to hold all against him, I'm going to that dinner. I went to that dinner, and then, you know, they had their festivities and stuff, and he's standing at the door, you know, as people leaving, he's just shaking their hands. He's like, all right, good to work with you, blah, 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 good to work with you. You know, just whatever to them. And so, you know, it's my turn, I come up, and he stops me, and he holds, I'm the only person he did this with. He stopped me, and he held my hand, he said, Edwards, he says, you're our, you know, expletive good troop. you know what expletive is. He says, you're going to make it a long ways in this Air Force. He says, you're a very sharp guy. Now, coming from this guy who I thought hated my guts, it meant a lot to me. But see, God says he will make even your enemies to be at peace with you. God answered prayer because I made up my mind to obey him and forgive. Let me give you another story by way of illustration. You know, situation with myself in Takako some years ago. And this was a church situation. You know, I'm not going to get into all the details. One day I will. You know, it was a church where I received the left foot of fellowship. You know, they had the right hand of fellowship at Baptist churches. Well, you know, when you get kicked out, we call it the left foot of fellowship. But anyway, we were in a particular situation where, you know, let's just say that I wasn't around at a certain time. And, you know, my wife was trying to minister to a particular person, you know, because of the sin that she was getting involved in. And some of the leaders of the church, you know, harassed my wife. Now, you can do a lot to me and get away with it. You mess with my wife and kids, we're going to fight.
Natural.
I called them all together, and I went off, and I told them I could shout from the rooftops and tell everybody what's going on at this church. I said, but I won't do that. Now, the couple that was in, you know, that caused, or who was the cause of all this stuff, you know, I had so much difficulty with, because at one time the person was was one of my best friends, and the woman that was involved in it was my wife's best friend. So you know the pain that causes when that rift comes between best friends, when you do you wrong like that. But you know what I did? One day, God spoke to me, and you know, my mother-in-law had given me this nice, beautiful leather coat, expensive leather coat. The Lord told me, take it and give it to him. What in the world would I want to give it to somebody who just stabbed me in the, not only just stabbed me in the back, but took the knife and I didn't want to give him my knife. Beautiful leather. I mean, that coat fit me good, too. I was looking good in that coat. I don't care what y'all say. I did not want to give up that coat. But see, at the time, I had been praying and asking God to open more doors for my ministry, to give me more opportunities to preach and teach and stuff like that. And at the time, the well was dry, okay? I wasn't getting no invitations anywhere. I wasn't getting nobody to open no doors for me. Well, I went and gave the guy the leather coat. Wasn't no sooner than that, I was asked to speak on a Wednesday night at that church. No sooner than that, then I was given a few Sunday mornings. And then I was given a whole Wednesday, I was given more opportunities than I could handle. I was asked to speak on Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday for a couple of weeks. But people were so drawn to the ministry. But you know why? Because I obeyed God. And God opened the door for those ministry. And I could give you more. Oh my goodness, I could tell you more. But these are examples from, and I'm telling you my life because I want you to see that I'm not just preaching to you a bunch of principles. I'm telling you this stuff actually works. If you obey God and you forgive people, God will forgive you and he will open doors that no man can shut. Amen? Amen. Let's look at another scripture that Ann stole from me earlier. Matthew chapter 5. That's all right. That's all right. It just shows that one of us is listening to the Holy Spirit and the other one's confirming it. All right. Matthew chapter 5, verse 23. Are you there?
Amen.
All right. It says, therefore, if you bring thy gift to the altar, and there remembrance that thy brother hath aught against thee, leave thy gift before the altar, and go thy way. First, say first.
First
be reconciled to thy brother, and then come, say then come.
And then come.
And offer thy gift. First. Before you waste your time talking to God. Because let me tell you something. God ain't listening. If you got aught against somebody. Or you know somebody has aught against you. Then the Bible says first. Priority number one. First be reconciled to thy brother. And then. Then means after you've done what God said first, after you've done that, then come to the altar and offer your gift. Offer your praise. Offer your thanksgiving. Offer whatever it is you want to offer to God. Before you do anything, make sure that you make amends between you and whoever you're having problems with. Well, what if they did, Pastor Troy? Then forgive them. They dead anyway. Ain't gonna matter. Just forgive them. Let it go. Get it out of your heart. Make up your mind. I'm not gonna hold it against them. Whatever they did to me. Praise the Lord. This is important. You see, this is the pattern. I wish I had some a whiteboard. I just draw this nice little simple chart. But the chart is like this. We forgive. God forgives. Prayers answered. That's a simple formula. We forgive plus God forgives equals answered prayer. You don't want to go before God if you have aught against your heart, in your heart against somebody, or you know that somebody has aught against you and you not, and you know you're just so cold hearted. I don't care. I ain't did nothing to them. Forget them. I ain't got no problems. They don't want to get the problem. Don't be cold. That's the street crap. We don't do that as Christians. Amen?
Amen.
You know, yeah, we did that when we was in the world. They don't want to get the problem. Now, as Christians, you may not have done anything to them. But you still go and try to work that thing out. That's called love.
Mm-hmm.
You try to win your brother or your sister over.
Yes.
And you love them no matter what. Love is sacrificial. That means so I got to give up something. I got to give up my pride. I got to give up my ego. Because somebody's hurt. Even if I didn't do anything, in their mind, I did something. Let me try to work that thing out with them. Praise God. I'm not getting a lot of amens today. I must be making y'all mad or something. Well, you know what? You are obligated to forgive me. Isaiah, turn with me to Isaiah chapter 59. Now, I want you to see, it's important for you to receive God's forgiveness if you expect to have your prayers answered. You see, because James says we all stumble in word or in deed. Now, we all... Now let me try to get you to understand something. I believe we can overcome sin in this life.
Amen.
I'm not one of those that teach sinless perfection or the eradication of the sinful man, because the Bible does teach that that the flesh lusts against the spirit. You're going to always deal with the flesh while you're here on earth in this life. But the Bible also says that you can overcome the lust of the flesh. Mm-hmm. But while you're learning to do that, while you're learning to overcome, you're going to struggle. You're going to sometimes, it's going to happen. Sometimes you're just going to slip. You're going to fall into temptation. When I say slip, okay, I don't mean, well, I slipped, I committed adultery. You don't slip doing that. How you going to slip? Oh, I slipped, I stole this camera from this. You don't slip doing that. I'm talking about every once in a while you might say the wrong word, or you might, you know, look at the dude the wrong way, you know, or that woman, you know, you might see and he's like, oh, Father, forgive me. You know, we're not slipping. You know, somebody say something to you, they say a nasty word to you, and you know, you just might respond back in the same nasty way. That's slipping. You know, we're human. That happens. Now, that's what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about, you know, committing blatant, outright sin that you could, then talking about, oh, I made a mistake. No, that's not a mistake. You blew it. Now, God's forgiveness is there for that. But what we're talking about here is that you struggle with the flesh, you're always going to need God to forgive you. And as long as you need God's forgiveness, then you've got to practice forgiving other people. Because if God doesn't forgive you, then you will be, when you try to talk to God and tell him about your problems and tell him your needs and what you need him to do for you, you're going to get a deaf ear. Watch this. Isaiah chapter 59. Begin at verse 1. It says, "Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy that it cannot hear." See, listen to that. God is saying, it's not, it has nothing to do with my lack of ability. My hand is not shortened that it can't save. I can save if I want to. Oh, I'm not deaf. I can hear if I want to hear. But listen to this. But your iniquities, not me. God said, don't put it on me. It's on you. Your iniquities have separated between you and your God. And your sins, it ain't got nothing to do with God, it's you. And me. All right. Your sins have hid his face from you, that he will not hear. He didn't say I can hear, he said he will not hear. You see, if we sin, God has the right to say, all the promises concerning answered prayer are forfeited because you have sinned against me. Mm-hmm. Now, how do we get God's forgiveness? We confess our sins before him, and the Bible says he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But you know what? You won't get that cleansing unless you first make up your mind to forgive those who have done you wrong. God wants to bless you. It is his desire to bless you. See, God did not have to put all those promises in the Bible. I think one man counted, it was a school teacher some years ago, who counted all the promises in the Bible, and it came up with 7,000 promises. I think 7,487 promises of God to man. Now, don't you think that God, who is all wise and all knowing, knew what he was doing when he put those promises in there? He didn't put them there in there and say, "Oops, I sure wish I hadn't have done that. Now they're going to hold me to them." No, God knew what he was doing. You know why? He loves you so much. He loves you so much that he wants to bless you. He wants to bless you spiritually, physically, and emotionally. He loves you. He loves this dying world. He wants us to reach out and bring the lost to him. That's why he's made promises of salvation. And that's why he wants you and I to go out and tell people about these promises. He wants people to call upon the name of the Lord and they shall be saved. He wants to do great things. And see, he wants us to have money so that we can have mission, we can do missions work. It's not good to be in poverty. Because if you're in poverty, you can't help with the missions work. We need money so we can do missions, so we can send books, CDs and stuff to people who ain't got. We can get overseas and preach the gospel. I want to get overseas one day. And if all y'all broke, y'all can't send pastor overseas. Pastor needs to get overseas. And Pastor Kristen, we need to get the Liberia into the Ivory Coast so we can preach the word. Amen. Ain't that right, Pastor Chris?
That's true.
Amen. So y'all need to start believing God for some money. All right. Praise God. So God makes all these promises, and he wants to bless you. It is his delight to bless you. Oh, it's his desire to give you the kingdom. But you got to forgive. God wants you to have victory in your life. But in order for you to have that victory, you've got to forgive. Let's look at one more passage of scripture. I could go into a whole lot more, but we're going to look at one more. Are you getting anything out of this?
Yes.
Praise God. Look with me at 1 Peter chapter 3. How many of y'all in here are married?
Married.
All right. This is especially for you married folks. Taco, you married?
Yes,
she is. All right.
I told you
about
my husband.
I heard you had a wonderful husband. I heard that brother was handsome too, bro. The man of God. Are you married, Elise? Are you married to a wonderful brother? Is he a
married to a wonderful woman?
Hey! Woo! Woo! I don't know if I should ask Mary now. I'm scared to ask Mary. But this is glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Second Peter. y'all have messed me up now. 2 Peter chapter 3. Alright. This is for married folks, but the principles here can apply to every one of us in here. Some of you are one day going to be married. I know some of y'all believe in God for that godly woman or that godly man. He who finds a wife finds a good thing. So let that man find you, amen?
Amen.
Don't you go out looking for no man. I'm telling you.
Yeah. It's true.
And how long is that going to take?
Pam, you know what? You learn to forgive, and God will answer your prayer.
Preparation is so blessed.
That's what tell him, man. Tell
him. I do forgive.
All right. So you just wait on the Lord. Wait on the Lord and be of good courage. He will send that man.
All right.
I got to watch over you ladies. Pastor got to keep y'all chased. See, I'm telling you, because I've seen too many women. You know, because God seemed to be taking too long, and they take the first thing that comes. And that dude just throws them through the ringer. Sooner or later, they end up backsliding, moving away from the church.
You make a phone call to Jesus.
Oh.
You can do that.
That's right.
Hell.
Hey. Turn it over to Jesus. He can work it out. All right, I won't go there. All right, let's 1 Peter chapter 3. Y'all there yet?
Amen.
Man, y'all be starting trouble in this church, man. 1 Peter. You know it's them, Lord. It's not me, right? Hey, that's not faith now. You gotta talk faith, sister.
Right.
Alright, we gotta teach faith and confession soon too. Alright. 1 Peter chapter 3. Verse 5, it says, "For after this manner, in the old time, the holy women also who trusted in God adorned themselves, being in subjection unto their own husbands, even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord." How many of you wives do that today? All right, then we won't go there. "Whose daughters ye are, as long as ye do well and are not afraid with any amazement." You know, I told my wife I expect her to bow down to me when I come home, but she just ain't got there yet. Oh, gotta work on her. All right. "Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge." So there's requirements for the wife and for the husband as well.
Amen.
"According to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife." Mm-hmm. So men, we can't sit up there just waiting for our wives to call us Lord, and we don't give any honor to them. Mm. Ain't that right, Pastor Steve? He said, "I ain't saying nothing." Mary's right there back of me. All right. "We give an honor unto them as unto the weaker vessel, as being heirs together of the grace of life." Why? "That your prayers be not hindered."
Mm.
See, hindrances to prayers come in when there's disputes in the home. When husbands and wives are not given the honor due to each other, when we're walking in unforgiveness, we're angry with each other, then we don't get our prayers answered. See, and that's why Satan loves to attack homes. That's why he loves to attack families. That's why he loves to cause disputes between husbands and wives. I'm telling you, since this ministry started, you know, things have happened in our home that usually would not happen. I mean, you know, me and my wife mad at each other for some of the dumbest stuff. You know, just don't even want to talk to each other for sometimes, you know. Mm-hmm. And then I got to come here and preach to y'all. Like, and then I got to pretend like I love her. I'm just kidding. I love her dearly. We've been married for over 20 years, and I've never. This is the only woman for me. Amen.
Amen.
But I tell you, it's difficult when in a home when husband and wife ain't getting along. See, I can put up with a whole bunch of junk at work. I can put up with people at the church, you know, misunderstanding pastor. But when I come home and my own wife is not understanding me or doesn't seem to be supportive of me or anything like that, that hurts. And Satan knows that. And then, of course, he'll get me, you know, he'll get me to not want to forgive when I feel like I've been done wrong. And then, of course, that affects my anointing. That affects my praying. That affects, that affects everything I'm trying to do for the Lord. Because I can't pray, because God, if I pray, all I'm doing is wasting my time, because every time I go before God and say, "Oh Father, bless so-and-so," first things first, your wife, you know, then you just shake that off, try to ignore it. "But Father, you know we need a 15 pass," "What about your wife?" And you shake that off. "Lord, we need our own building, Lord. When are you going to bless us with our..." "I don't want to hear it." "What about your wife?"
"Yeah.
I forgive her, Lord." "Anyway, Lord, I need..." No, that's right. It's not enough. God will take you through the ringer. He don't want to hear it. He wants you to forgive. And he wants you to forgive truly. Explicitly. Without any conditions. It is not, "Well, as soon as she comes to apologize to me, I'll forgive. As soon as he says, I'm sorry, I'll forgive." No, you forgive whether they say I'm sorry or not. Whether they acknowledge they're wrong or not. Yeah, you know, husbands, we know our wives are wrong, but we got to forgive them anyway. And you women, I know you know your husband, he just ain't, he got half a brain, yes. Us men, that's the problem with us men, we just think straight. Women, let's just face it, women are smarter than us.
Amen.
The get this done, this done, this done, and this done all at the same time. And us men, all we can focus on is I need to get this done. Women, boy, are smart. So that's where our problems happen sometimes, is because women are thinking multiplicity, and many of us men, we're thinking singularity. So we have to learn to understand one another. But this is, I didn't mean it. We're going to teach marriage one of these days. But that's where the problems with forgiveness comes in, because women don't understand men, and men don't understand women, and God, he's got such a big sense of humor, he puts us together anyway. And says, well, let me see what happens. I think God loves a good fight. Praise God. He loves to put challenges before us and see how we're going to deal with them. But God wants to bless us. He wants to answer our prayers. He wants to do great things for us.
Yes, he does.
But we have to learn to forgive. That's the key to victorious living. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Boy, I got more scripture on this. I wish I could go on, but y'all looking at me like your time is up. So we're going to continue this next week. Be here. Invite a friend. Invite an enemy. Make reconciliation with them. Praise God. Invite people you like and invite people you don't like. Praise Jesus. Stand to your feet. We're going to get ready to have communion in a moment. But I want you to prepare your hearts. Praise God.